I'm thankful for music. I don't make beautiful music, so don't ask me to lead or anything like that, but I sure do enjoy music. In fact, Beverly forgot something that she was going to bring to Sunday school this morning, so I got to, we don't usually drive to church, but we did for a few reasons this morning, and I got to drive home just by myself and the CD and just a few minutes of connecting with God through music. I just really enjoy it. Thank you to the whole team leading us and helping us focus on God. I mean, how's life going for you? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 just cruising along, skipping through the tulips, going well. A 10 right now would be a challenging. I don't know, where is it going? Are you facing a lot of challenges? You don't have to answer out loud. These are rhetorical questions. Sometimes I want answers, sometimes not. But just assess that. What are you facing right now? And what brings you to a sense of equilibrium? I mean, watching the news can stir up a lot of us. There's a lot going on in the world. Sometimes there's a lot going on personally. We know people who are suffering or dying. Relationally can be huge challenges, right? That can change almost by moment at some seasons of life. There's things we go through. What, do you have a sense of being stuck as we talk about growing as followers of Jesus, seeking to glorify God? Is there a sense of being stuck? Or is there growth? Is it anticipating good things these next months? Are we fearful? Look at the news. That's a common response I find in our society. And a lot of the reactions that I see around the globe are fear-based. How about confusion? You're trying to make some decisions. You're not sure, seeking. Or complacent. Complacent to what you think you should really value. And you're investing in other things. We're walking through our hand. Thanks for introducing it so well this morning, James. Growing. Scripture, it's foundational. Prayer. I'm going to put these first two together this morning. What roots us and grounds us, and what brings illumination? Helps us understand, right? If we think of the plant, you can almost see them now. Hey, they're getting pretty tall. The dirt's down several inches. But you can almost see them. They're growing, been watering, especially this one, putting it in the sunlight. That one, not quite so much. They're about a quarter the size of the leaves. What roots us and grounds us? And what is that light source? Been singing about him. Jesus, for the believer. For all people, just we know it if we're following him. And what's our prayer life like? Do we pray when we're forced to? Right? When circumstances get out of control, then we cry out to God? Or is that the only times anyways? Or when somebody puts us on the spot, right? We're in a group. Hey, would you open in prayer? Sure, I guess so. I'm supposed to say that, right? Or is it just when it's routine, like before meals? Pray for the food. Thank you, God, for this food. Amen. And we go on. Not that those are bad. It's great when circumstances, we often need an instigator to pray, don't we? Circumstances do get tough. What a great response. Cry out to living God. He answers. He's bigger than us. Prayer is better than us doing it on our own. That's for sure. When we're requested, pushed out of our comfort zone, that's sure, great, let's try it. I'm going to do that today, actually. Don't run away yet. Or the routine, to develop a pattern of being thankful and grateful. They're not bad things, but are these the sum total of our prayer life? Or is there an ongoing dependence on God, an intentional dependence on God, a growing our prayer life? That, if we go to the next slide, the growth would be from God. Right? We're often, especially in North America, I don't know about the rest of the world, but we slip so quick into trusting in ourselves. It's about how I study, how I do this, I have a faith enough, whatever. Yes, we want to grow in our faith. This is growth that is from God. Remember that through this whole series. And today, the growth that is rooted in Scripture and illuminated through a life of prayer, a regular pattern of prayer. And the hand should come up there next. Yes, they're all connected together. But the Bible, it roots us. This is how God's revealed the truth about Himself and the truth about us. Are we growing in that understanding? An intimacy with Him in prayer. And out of that, we have the courage and the faith to live an obedient life, because we know Him so well. He's got good things planned for us. And we grow together. We don't walk alone. We're in a fellowship for a reason. And we find that sharing doesn't become something we have to do, but we get to do. And we look for opportunities. Sometimes I think we have this picture of here's regular life, not knowing God. And then we know God, and it's just this little incremental bit better. Not really life changing, not from life to death. We forget how amazing it is to know God, and how big and wondrous and gracious and merciful and so many other things, powerful, right? That God is, and we're not really crying out to Him. We're probably not sharing because we're just having these little tweaks in our own lives. But do we have a living, growing faith in Jesus? And when it comes to prayer, we need to practice it. We need to actually pray. Right? We can talk here all day of the importance of prayer and then go away and go, yeah, I'd probably experience more of God in my life if I prayed more or differently or engaged. So I want to talk about a way to do that. And it's, if we go to the next slide, I mean, sometimes, dear Lord, I can't find the right words. Can you please just listen through my heart? At times we come to this, but again, this shouldn't be the sum total of our prayer life, not putting it into the words, because it can be an incredible, valuable journey of life and cause growth as we struggle to find the right words to express where we're really at and what we really want God to do and to meet us powerfully. It can be a meaningful to seek and to find Him. Let's not give up on this too quickly. Oh, God knows my needs anyways. Just hear my heart, God, and we just go back into life. But really, that process of praying, of being in the presence of Almighty God, is transforming. It's growing us. So don't exit out of it too quickly. He calls us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Some of these are hard to put together. Justice and love. Truth and grace, and experiencing Him and understanding who He is, and that He wants to give us good gifts. If we can go to the next slide there. I mean, a classic definition of prayer. Prayer is the raising of one's mind and heart to God, or the requesting, and I would say, and the requesting of good things from God. We understand how good He is. He wants to meet us personally and powerfully. Do you believe that this morning? Are we just kind of going through life? No, He's gonna, this is as good as it gets. But He's made abundant life possible. Are we growing towards that abundant life? And prayer includes insight and affection. Those other things. Sometimes it's hard to put some of these together. We need to cultivate prayer. If we go to the next slide. Cultivating a discipline of prayer. Yes, sometimes it's a discipline. It's a pattern that we develop of prayer. And we build it into our life. That means we push something else aside. It's a practice. We can repent of poor prayer. set a realistic goal. Sometimes, right, we get inspired at a retreat or a conference or camp or whatever. We come home, oh, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to do this. And we've set the bar so high, we've guaranteed nobody can change in that many areas of life at once or even one so drastically. It's incremental. It's growth over time. But are we even changing one thing in our life? Opening ourselves up to what God wants to do. Set a realistic goal. Follow an agreeable method. That's what I want to develop more than most of the other this morning. Schedule a double time. Schedule sufficient time. We often rush our growth, our experience of God. Submit to accountability, right? These things on the hand are all tied together, our fellowship. We need each other. Hey, I want to increase my prayer life. Would you keep me accountable? And sometimes we're talking about accountability in the negative sense. Often we do, right? Hey, are you getting this bad thing out of your life? And that's accountability. Accountability goes, hey, are you putting those things in your life that feed your soul? Accountability is a good thing, a positive thing mostly, right? If it's only the negative, hey, are you getting that bad thing out of your life? Are you getting that bad thing out of your life, right? Every time we see that accountability person, it's only negative. If we ever fail, we're going to start to avoid that person. Accountability in the biblical sense is encourage one another. It's drawing it out, calling us to higher. And yes, a piece of that is shedding something that's robbing us of life, but more than anything, it's taking on the things that give us life. So do we invite people into our lives to have that accountability? Pray in the Spirit. Do we realize every time we pray, we're not just saying words, where our spirit is communing, fellowshipping with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit? We have access to Almighty God. And then evaluate our spiritual growth. What changes? Okay, I've implemented these changes. Is it causing growth in my life? Godly growth? Or am I moving away from God? Wow, I'm even trusting more in myself now. And then repeat that cycle. Keep walking through it, walking through it. But I want to talk mostly about an agreeable method, something that actually works for us. It helps you in particular at this season of life grow and experience God more and more. I think of our small group last year. We walked through a study called What's Your God Language? And I think there was 8 different ways of connecting with God more naturally for different people. Incredible study. And we could see, wow, in that person, yeah, you know what? That's not that meaningful for me, but I see that it is for you. And what are those things in your life? I can give you more information on that book. Maybe you want to gather a group of people together and go, hey, I'd love to go through a study like that. Because I find a lot of people, here's the way I'm supposed to do my devotions, my prayer and my Bible study, right? Do it this way. And it just feels unnatural. But I feel guilty when I'm not doing it. And God says, you know what? Don't put yourself in a box. Be free to encounter me, experience me in all sorts of different ways. There's the intellectual, the naturalist, the traditionalist. There's all sorts of different things, but it's okay to try something maybe we don't know that would be meaningful to us. I did another study years ago. I'm trying to spiritual formation practices in Bible college, and we got together and we would, every chapter is pretty short. It's just reading through the chapter, right? You don't need an in-depth leader for it. You can just gather a group of people that want to grow, read through the chapter. Here's different challenges. You read historically how this has played out in the church life and present day, and then at the end of the chapter, every person in that group commits to one way of practicing that spiritual discipline that week. I tell you, before that, I'd never tried journaling, but I find sometimes, certain seasons of my life, journaling an essential part of me growing. So try some different things. Today, I want to specifically try a different way of prayer. The disciples come to Jesus and they, Lord, teach us to pray. the Lord's Prayer. This is the King James Version. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Many of us have this memorized, maybe in this version, maybe in another version. I memorized it in a different one. That's why I'm reading it off the back screen, so I follow along with what's on the screen right now. But I memorized it because in the church I came to Christ in, we said it sometimes, much like in this church, sometimes the opener, church, whatever, the welcome greeter person up here will lead us in this. We say it sometimes, we get it memorized. But more than anything, for several years I started to utilize this as a tool. And I would think through the Lord's Prayer. And I memorized it in a different version, the NIV. I prefer my study Bible now as the ESV, whatever. It doesn't matter what version. If we bring up the next slide, it'll come up on a different version. Whatever translation is helpful for you. But I walked through the concepts of this prayer. And so I started to put that into all of my prayers. And I would walk through this. Here's focusing on God. Here's who He is. Holy is His name. He's holy. He's separate. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. May it be so. And then I could pray for specific ways that I thought He was leading to me to make it so. And partnered with Him, right? It's a growth that is from God. He brings the change, but I partner with Him. He's the provider. Recognize it. Make those needs and requests known to Him. He delights in giving His children good gifts, right? So it's just a way of, for me, for several years, I would think through this prayer as I was praying, and it developed my prayer life. It kept a more balance there. Lord, teach me to pray. Do we really want to grow? Do we really want to grow in our prayer lives? There's other ways, other methods that we can use. I think of the ACTS one, ACTS. Just adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Supplication, just a big fancy word, making our requests known. Here's where I'm at, God. Here's what I'm requesting of you and on behalf of others. Another way, another tool, another method, but we actually need to act on some of these. Use one of these. Now there's another one, pray. We did a service, I think it was last January, where different people walked through these. The praise part, repent part, the ask part, and the yield part. We often forget that. Prayer really is an avenue to align us to the will of God for what we are created for. Do you just want to go through life with your own destiny? Or do you really want to experience what you are actually created for? This can be another way. And now I want to introduce another one. I've been reading through a book, Praying Through Scripture. Praying Scripture. I can give you more information. I forgot to write down the author's name. But it's just a different method to keep us focused. And it's different in several ways. There's a different purpose, potentially, as we pray. Keeps us rooted and illuminated together. We're engaging Scripture and growing our prayer life. See, it's not just that I'm supposed to pray, or pray the same thing in the same way, right? Don't often we get in the habit of saying the same words, and it just becomes by rote, by memory, right? Some of those can be incredibly meaningful if we're engaged with the meaning of it and not just saying the words. Are we really engaged when we're praying? Are we aware of who we're praying to? And praying through Scripture can root us and ground us in this and have a conversation where growth is sprouted. It's growing right while we're doing it. It's not just a habitual routine. It's a dynamic conversation going on. So one, it can help us with a purpose. Why are we even engaging in prayer? A different purpose. But it also leads to a different posture, potentially. Like we've been singing this morning about who God is. Much of Scripture is for that purpose. It reveals who God really is and reminds us of that. We pray to Almighty God. Don't sometimes when we're praying to a tiny little God? Not the God of the Bible? Praying through Scripture can help us pray to God as He really is. He's Almighty. He's holy. That we bow down, right? If the, I don't know which royalty's even over here, Prince somebody or other, but even if the Queen walks in here today, right? We would address her in specific ways, right? We didn't just, hey, Queenie man, what are you doing? Right? We don't use casual language with the Queen. We put out our fancy teacups when we host her. But at the time this is written, I mean, Scripture's written, King of Kings. Kings had a lot of authority. Right? Think of the book of Esther. Esther, his wife, can't even enter his presence unless she's invited. Or uninvited and unwelcomed means death. Right? They had a lot of power. Have we lost the reverence of who God is? That we don't just rush up there, hey, God, solve this problem for me. Right? If Jesus walks in here today, what's an appropriate response? We bow down and we worship. We worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We so easily forget that. He's our friend much more than Father. Father. Heavenly Father. Holy. We fall prostrate. We respect and we fear and we revere. Rather than request-oriented, it's reverence. Rather than results, whether we're demanding those results or we're just kind of hopefully praying, but kind of a faithless prayer, still hoping for a result. Rather than results-oriented, it's relationship-oriented. We recognize, wow, Almighty God wants a relationship with me, and we draw near to Him as He draws near to us. And there's a different posture there. A different posture before God. There's also a different perspective, possibly. At least it opens it up for that. Through praying for different things. Like first we could start with God's character. Really be reminded about that. Praising Him, right? Those different methods we walk through. Praise comes first. Adoration, just for His character. We're reminded how good He is. But we also might pray for the similar things, right? The things on our list. The people on our hearts. The situations we're in. But with a new lens. Having gained a new perspective in the process. Prayer is a journey to go on and a dialogue with God. Through Scripture, it can help us engage in a dynamic relationship. So what's your prayer life like? Just doing the basic minimum, only when required, kind of complacent or faithless? Do you really believe that God answers prayer? Sometimes we forget that. Through Scripture, we're reminded of this. So the author of the book that I'm reading through, Scripture, reading through Scripture book, suggests a place to start would be the Psalms. So I challenge you to take up this challenge. I've been doing it for a few weeks now since I've been reading this book. What he says is grab hold of, there's on any given day you can pick one of five Psalms. So there's about 30 days in each month. So on the first day of the month, it's Psalm 1, add 30 to it. Psalm 31, add 30 to it. Psalm 61, add 30 to it. 91, 121. There's your five Psalms. Just briefly look at those and go, I'm going to pray through this psalm today. If you got enough time, you can pray through them all, but it takes a lot longer to pray through a psalm than you think. It's going to take time. Set some time aside. But the potential growth that is there. So on the fifth day of the month, right, you don't even have to remember where you're at. You don't even need a little marker in your Bible. It's Psalm 5, 35, 65, 95, 125. Well, those are easier. Psalm 12 and 30. 42, 72, 102, 30, 132, right? You can make a little chart, but praying through Scripture can open us up so much more, and we're praying the truth. We're praying how God reveals Himself, not just our little faith conscripted prayers. And it can bring about true growth, growth that is from God. He wants to grow us. Can we put these two things together, Scripture and prayer, and grow? I want to go through Psalm 19 this morning just to illustrate this a little bit and have us practice. But I encourage you to practice at home as well. Psalm 19, I'm going to read a chunk. When I pray through it, I only read as far as I need to until something comes to my mind. And usually that's about one phrase or one sentence, not these big chunks. But due to time this morning, we're going to take whole paragraphs. And then I'll suggest a couple things that have come to my mind out of it. So Psalm 19, we've read some of it this morning. Some it'll appear on the screen as well. Let's go into this with an attitude of prayer. And so if you veer off from where I'm going, that's fine. That's good even. And then the last chunks of this psalm, I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to push us uncomfortable, but gather with the person beside you, right around you. You can make these groups up to 5 or 7 people big if you want. There's not going to be a lot of time, but again, I'm going to read that section. And then pray what comes to mind. It's not about getting it all right. I'll talk about that at the end. That there's a risk here, but it's a minimal risk. But let's pray what comes to mind through the Scripture. So the heavens tell about the glory of God. The skies show His hands created them. Day after day they speak about it. Night after night they make it known. But they don't speak or use words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into the whole earth. Their words go out from one end of the world to the other. I mean, I'm reminded of the night sky and the vastness of what God has created. This is a grand, huge, big, awesome God. How big is He? The psalm takes me back there. I can thank Him and praise Him for that. He's bigger than I can really imagine, but He wants to know me. And He wants to know others. Those who can only talk about one topic because of the weight of their current burden, or that what they're experiencing that day or night. That's what verse 2 brings to my mind. The day or night speaks about the glory of God. But we all know those people in a certain place and time in life where this is the only topic that can come up because that's where they're at. And it reminds me to pray for that weight that they're currently carrying, that burden that they carry day and night, that their eyes would be lifted to who Jesus is day and night, and He would meet them. Verse 3 reminds me of silence and solitude, that we need to pause and listen. Be still and know that I am God. Right? It's not even their words. I almost want to preach this, but I'm praying it. God, it's just what reminds me of it. That it takes time to be present with God and to be present with others. Tune out the other noises and the expectations. So I'd be praying, God, help me tune out the other noise of our world. Expectations and demands, temptations, busyness. Help me stop and remain and abide. Verse 4 reminds me, I need direction for the day. To let the Lord give my to-do list. What do you have? Have Him write out my schedule. Not about my voice, what I can get done, but what do you want to do today, God? And so I pray for that. Going on to the next few verses. God has set up a tent in the heavens for the sun. The sun is like a groom leaving the room on his wedding night. The sun is like a great runner who takes delight in running a race. It rises at one end of the heavens and then it moves across to the other. Everything enjoys the warmth. Reminds me of running a race. I can pray about that. And the Christian life is running a race. And encouraging those, pray for those around me. Reminds me, search me and show me any wicked way. For those needing encouragement on the journey. Possibly a response that He wants me to have to be part of the answer of the, for those who I'm praying for. Become part of God's answer for them. Warmth reminds me that it's physical, spiritual, emotional. There's an acceptance. God's provision for all people. Warmth of the sun. He excludes none. Putting it back together with verse 4, I was reminded of a voice going out to the whole world. And I started praying for missionaries and people of the nations and closer to home neighbors. Anyone not enjoying the warmth of God's love, and prayed for them. Now the next sections, I'm just going to give you opportunity. You can pray in your head, but I challenge you to pray out loud with someone else. So if you need to move to be beside people, that's good. Read these next verses. What comes to mind? There's no real right answers here. It's just praying. The law of the Lord is perfect. It gives us new strength. The laws of the Lord can be trusted. They make childish people wise. The rules of the Lord are right. They give joy to our hearts. The commands of the Lord shine brightly. They give light to our minds. The law that brings respect for the Lord is pure. It lasts forever. Take a couple minutes and pray, please. God, your word is alive, divides bone and marrow. It's written for our good. It's a guardrail, not a fence. And I am not even thankful for it sometimes. I don't even care. I'm complacent or apathetic towards it. Father, thank you for reminding me how good it is and life-giving it is. The written word reveals you, the living word. Thank you, Jesus. I know I'm rushing you. I'll go on to the next section anyways. I hope we're too rushed and it makes us long for more time to prayer. The next few verses say this. You can stay in that attitude of prayer in your groups. Just listen, or you can look up, see it on the screen from your own word. But this is also preparation for communion, which we'll celebrate here very shortly. But who can know their own mistakes? Forgive my hidden faults. Also keep me from the sins I want to commit. May they not be my master. Then I will be without blame. I will not be guilty of any great sin against your law. Take a few minutes again to pray. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm not defined by my mistakes, my sins, not even by my hidden ones. My identity is not in them, and I don't need to be a slave to anything but you, Jesus, who brings life, came that I might have life, that we together might experience abundant life. We can walk without blame, guiltless because of what you have done for us, God. And would you bring transformation, God, that I would not be content to sin against you or against others. There would be transformation and growth and change brought about by the power of your Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for your work in my life and in our lives. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Next verses say, the commands of the Lord gives are true. All of them are completely right. They are more precious than gold. They have greater value than huge amounts of pure gold. They are sweeter than honey that is taken from the honeycomb. Your servant is warned by them. When people obey them, they are greatly rewarded. Just a couple minutes here to pray. And remember, we're preparing for communion as well, but just engage with Scripture and God. Thank you, God, that your words are true completely. Thank you for the warnings and the good counsel, the life-giving words that lead us to a life-giving, a life-rewarded life, true life. We thank you, Jesus. I just want to make verse 14 a final prayer before we celebrate communion. Lord, may these words of my mouth please you, and may these thoughts of my heart please you also. You are my rock and my redeemer. I invite those who are serving communion to come forward. I just want to make a couple comments about this. One, choose a method. Choose a method and act on it. Let's grow our prayer life. This is one way. That's not that hard, right? We could do this as families. We can read through a passage of Scripture, whether a psalm or one of Paul's prayers in his letter would be an easy way to start because it's a prayer already. But there's other ways of praying Scripture and being reminded. But there's a risk here. We could misinterpret Scripture. But I would say that there's likely a greater chance of praying outside God's will if we're not engaging Scripture, right? Because it's not about exegeting the Scriptures. We still need to study Scriptures. This is a different time. This is a tool for prayer and intimacy with God. So whatever comes to our mind, it's okay to pray about that and not do it in just the right way or whatever else. There's no constraints here. It's a guide for our prayers, and over time our prayers will become more godly, more faith inspired, right? Might we actually believe more and more that God's going to act? But try something. Will you try something this week? Take hold of one of these methods and let's grow our prayer life and see what happens. When we gather for a meeting, it doesn't matter if it's a music team practice or the maintenance team gathers. Hey, you know what? Let's take a couple minutes and pray through a psalm. Pray through some scripture, right? We can just build this into whenever, over breakfast, over whenever. It's not rocket science, but it will take some action on our part if we're going to grow as followers of Jesus, seeking to glorify God.